Hello again, Mike O'Connor. Another geezer cast for you. It's Sunday, and Marcy and Mike Reese and his son David are out counting them butterflies. Mike came by a few weeks ago, but it rained all day, and he finally gave up. So today got off to a pretty good start, but I was just noticing it's getting a little cloudy out there. I'm not sure they're going to get a full day of butterfly counting in, but anyway, that's where they are. And I am running away from what I ought to be doing, which is writing report draft for the statewide broadband committee that I'm on. I've been a very good scout. I did about an hour and a half of it, but then my head just sort of bursts and I have to take a breather. So this could either be chalked up to procrastination or breather. Just sort of depends, I guess, on your point of view. But I'm going to talk about two things today. I'm going to talk about high-frequency trading on the stock market. That story hit the newspaper this week. And I'm going to connect that up to broadband because I'm swimming in broadband right now. That's all I think about. Broadband and ICANN, that's all I do. And I mow things down, but that's for fun. And then the other thing I'm going to talk about is hearing aids. And it'll make more sense once you've heard the story. Anyway, first about high-frequency trades. Here's the deal. It turns out that some of the biggest trading houses put their computers right in the same room with the stock market computers. So the computers for the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ or something like that. And then because they're so close and because they have such good connectivity, they use that to gain and to essentially game the market a little bit. What they do is they fire a whole bunch of really small trades in to sort of find out where to put a great big trade. So they'll sort of, it's sort of like Battleship. You sort of fire in a bunch of small trades and then you find either the highest price to sell your stocks at or the lowest price to buy your stocks at, depending on which side of the trade you're on. And then once you've fired a whole bunch of those little tiny trades in there, you'll run a great big trade right behind it. And, you know, so you use the little ones to sort of set the target, and then you run a great big bust through there at whatever the sort of hidden limit is for the person on the other side of the trade. And there's a big rumpus about that. Most people are pretty grouchy, although some people are saying, hey, you know, it's just making the market efficient. The thing that I find interesting is how this ties to broadband, because basically there are lots and lots of instances where being a little bit faster than the other person lets you win. So for you youngsters, that would be if you were gaming and your clicks on the trigger were a little bit quicker than the person you were fighting, you would tend to win fights. And there are other examples from the domain name world. The best example I can think of is something called drop catching, where domainers wait for a domain to expire, and then the domainer with the best connectivity to the registry fires in a million requests for that domain, and they tend to win those drops more frequently. And this is just sort of another example of that, which says he who has the least latency tends to win in the long run, which is one of the reasons why really high-speed broadband is At this point, my computer decided to restart.
Update request, computer restart.
No, so I got a little confused.
Computer now. Ooh, go away.
I don't know what's going on.
Where was I? I've forgotten where I was. He who has the least latency wins. Anyway, so let that be a lesson to you. If you've got something that you want to do like that, it's a really good idea to either be co-located with the other party or have a really good broadband connection. And we'll see how this thing with the sort of high, what did they call it? High frequency trading, I think they called it, where, you know, if you're right there, you can put in a boatload of trades, literally microseconds apart, much quicker than any normal chump in the market can respond. It does get a person to wondering whether this is a fool's game, being in the stock market. But you've heard that story before. Okay, speaking of fool's games, I was reading another article about hearing aids, and it dawned on me, I went out and looked at them on the net, because in the article they were saying, oh, well, you can buy hearing aids on the net, but you'd be a fool to do that because you'll get ripped off. I was going, why? Why is that? So I went out and looked, and sure enough, you can buy hearing aids on the net. But even those hearing aids are pretty spendy. And one of the things that I realized in all this is that a hearing aid is really just a little tiny PA system. It's got a microphone, it's got an amplifier, it's got a speaker. And it's small, I'll grant you that. But one of the things that makes me nuts about this is that you can't control it. Turns out when you buy hearing aids, you have to go to the fancy hearing aid place anytime you want to change the settings. So that would be like if you bought a PA or a stereo, and every time you wanted to change the tone controls or the volume, you had to go to the store. And I'm thinking, that is so stupid. And so I think there's a huge business opportunity. This is not for me. I don't want to start another business. But for some hardware geek out there, it seems to me that it's time for open source hearing aids. So it's just simple, you know, I mean, it's not this, it's just audio. It's just a microphone, an amplifier, and a speaker. It can't be that complicated. And it can't be that complicated to put volume and tone controls on them, so that when you're in a certain spot, you can change it. You know, this whole mystique of you have to go to the audiologist in order to change the tone controls on your hearing aid just makes me crazy. I mean, there's all these, it's sort of like the rant about those cables. Remember I did a rant many geezer casts ago about monster cables and how stupid it is that people pay hundreds of dollars for a cable that does exactly the same thing that basically zip cord, you know, electric cord does. Well, the hearing aid people are doing the same thing. So there's one thing that says look ahead volume control. And it says this hearing aid looks ahead microseconds and determines when something loud is coming and then turns down the volume so that, you know, you get a better hearing aid experience. And I'm going, you know, this is not new. This is the same thing as what us audio kids used to and still call automatic gain control. It's been around forever. It's been around as long as I've been alive, so that's 60 years. It's puffery. It's painting new paint on an old building. It's just completely stupid. So this is a call to some hardware geek. You've probably not thought about this, but think about it. You know, all you need to do is get these components and put them together and do a little open source software. I know the stuff's all digital now, so you get a digital signal processor and you put it in a little box. And quite frankly, I would be fine if it was a little bit ugly. I would much rather have good mics and good amps and good speakers in my ear. And if that didn't fit into a tiny little package that sat inside my ear, I'd be fine with that. You know, I'd even be willing to tape a couple of condenser mics on the front of my glasses and run the cords down the frame of my glasses into my shirt. I mean, it's just nuts. It's just, so anyway, there's my rant about hearing aids. You can tell that where this is all going, and I'm sure not going to do it. Although if nobody's done it by the time I need them, which will probably be about 10 years from now, I probably will start seriously researching, you know, little DSPs and little amps that have controls on them that I can stick in my shirt pocket and, you know, start running wires up the frames of my glasses and get a couple of hearing aids, or, you know, not hearing aids, but just earphones, you know, bud earphones like you have on your iPod would work fine. And so you'd have, you know, two little cords running down the back of your neck into your shirt, going to an amp with volume and tone controls on them, and you'd be set. And it, you know, can't possibly cost more than $20 to manufacture that stuff. I mean, you know, it's just a chip. Once you get the chip done, the incremental cost to make more chips is like nothing. So this business where these things cost $2,000 each, people. This is $2,000 for an amp, a speaker, and a microphone. That's crazy. It's a ripoff is what it is. So there you go. There's a dual rant geezer cast. I got to go back to writing my dang report. Hope you enjoyed this one. I'll talk to you later.